You're not alone, you're not crazy, and you're right to not be satisfied. Because you are infinite brilliance, and it's time to start shining. Welcome to the Lights Like Us podcast. Lights like us together. This is Ryan.
This is Heidi.
All right, so the other morning, we got up. I think we were a little cranky. We were having, well, me and you had a little...
Was that the day I woke up on the wrong side of the bed for real?
You had a real bad morning, which we won't get into, but you were definitely...
No, you guys, it was bad. It was like you hear that phrase.
It was straight out of a movie.
It was straight out of a movie and I knew it, but I also, it was all very justified. I feel like all the women in all the land will understand what that means.
Yeah, and it was the first three things you said to me over 30 minutes were all negative, ripping me. Mm-hmm. And then when we were walking out the door and I said that to you, you said, well, it was true. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a day.
Just to preface, it was 4 days of insomnia for real. Jet lag really got me. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And maybe perimenopausal could be thrown in the mix, no, but we're not blaming that.
It's, you know what? There's all kinds of reasons and it happens.
I still feel the same feelings of those three things. Very real. So I can't laugh and say that was silly. They were real.
Wow. You're still doubling down.
Okay. Now we might want to know. I was falling asleep and I'm like, I wonder what I'm going to wear tomorrow because I wanted to think about it, which I don't always do. But I thought I'm going to wear I'm going to wear my blue jeans, my blue sweater, my blue coat. I go to get my blue jeans. They're not even washed. Ryan had done all the laundry, which is, I love that you do.
What was that? Ryan had done all the laundry.
All the laundry. Mm-hmm. But your method is different than mine. Mm-hmm, so I had no idea that my jeans didn't make it and they didn't fit any of his sorting. He didn't make it, which kills me.
There was a small little pile left.
So I didn't have those. Then I don't remember the other two.
Yeah. See, I don't even either. But they were like, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. I wish I could remember.
It was one of them. The overnight oats were so needed more liquid.
Oh, that was one. Yeah, you didn't put enough milk in. Did you put enough milk in? You didn't put enough milk in these. I was like, well, no, I did. It said to put a little more in the morning. And then it was something else like you didn't do this. Like, okay, yeah.
You pointed out not very gently that was a third thing I said to you.
Yeah, that was all you'd said, really. Okay, anyway, let's get to the good moment. I think it was the next morning. We were maybe still in the wake of a rough day. And just, there was stresses for different reasons. But I woke up and we came out and the sunrise was absolutely beautiful. And the moon was kind of over in the sky. And I had this, well, I wrote a poem about it, but I'm not going to read it.
Read it at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I had this moment of, you know what? No one can take this sunrise from me and this moon. And then I realized...
Your bitchy wife.
No.
Okay, wasn't a bitchy wife. Okay, great.
No, and then I realized, and I'm being vulnerable here. I'm being real vulnerable.
Okay, sorry for interrupting.
I realized that I live a lot of life afraid of a good thing being taken. And that's why I think I get so stressed about this current administration. And it's pretty selfish in some ways. But I realized I live a lot of life of just like, oh my, what if they take the cool coffee shops or what if they go out of business or it's just all dumb stuff. Okay. I'm not going to get into it all, but I saw the sun and I think it's one of the beautiful things about nature. And when I see Mount Rainier, I'm just like, you know what? No one's messing with is Mount Rainier. And you know what? No one's messing with is that sunrise and the moon over there next to it. And it gave me this piece of that will be there. Well, I mean, unless we destroy the whole planet, but that will be there and you can't mess with it. And it was a really like comforting, beautiful thought of there are good things that people can't take. And also, Ryan, I had an epiphany of like, geez, stop living in this terrible, like Anthony DeMello, we live in fear that we won't get something. And then as soon as we get it, we live in fear, we're going to lose it. Fear, 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 which we'll come back later. So anyway, yeah, that was my good moment.
I love that. And I do love your poem. I do think you should read it. I have been thinking a lot about my Nana. She's 94 and just passed away. And she was this 100% Italian, feisty, spirited, irreverent never knew how to cook Italian, rebelled completely from that, never liked anything different than like a hot dog. Very, I loved Jell-O, just loved traditional American things, I guess. So yeah, we resented her a lot. Yeah, we resented that she has had nothing passed on to us, except for she'd call me Bella all the time, which I thought was really cute. Mm-hmm. But she just died, and there's a lot of things where I'm unpacking, because obviously it's all coming for us, and what a dream to live 94 years and then die within mm-hmm. 2 weeks of basically her body just failed, and it was the most easy death that wasn't drawn out. But she had a very complicated relationship with her two children, my mom and my uncle. Mm-hmm. And there's trauma to the moon and back with their processing. But me and my sister and brother didn't have, she was Nana to us, and she was fun. She loved us a lot, actually. And she, made me cry because I never doubted that she loved us. Mm-hmm. Even though my mom had such a complicated relationship with her, mm-hmm. She could sneak away from this evil stepfather that was my mom's stepfather, and she could lie to him and run out to see us and bring us like an envelope with some dollars in it and sit with us for 30 minutes. And I just have this memory of sitting around her, watching her talk and just thinking she was so fun and so fun. Mm-hmm. So my mom had her stuff she's dealing with, but the three of us look at her with just pure joy. So anyway, I have no good thing to take from it other than just she's gone, and that's crazy. And it also is making me remember, as we always, death always does, is treasuring those around you, telling people you love them. I did get to tell her before she died that she was our favorite Nana ever, and she was our only Nana, because my mom and dad both had really challenging childhood, so we didn't know any grandparents really but her. So she's special, and cheers to Nana, and I hope she's having fun
eating
wherever
hot
she
dogs
is.
Oh my in God. The next life,
and not causing too much trouble, because she is a troublemaker.
She was a troublemaker,
and she was so sharp at the end of her life that in her home that she lived in, which she was in a fully functioning apartment, it wasn't an old home, it was before you needed care. She was in that middle ground where there was a lot of support, but she was mean to everyone because mm-hmm. she was so sharp and quick, and everyone around her in their 90s wasn't, mm-hmm. and she had no time for them.
Yeah.
So there was a flat side.
But also just encouraging anyone out there who's listening and maybe on the verge of should we or shouldn't we were all in Spokane for Christmas, all five of us, and then we had all this family stuff. And on Christmas Eve, we all, your sister and brother, or your sister and Jason, anyway, all the family went to Gigi's. We hadn't been there in a long time. So this is like, I don't know, 15 people packed in her apartment. And we hadn't seen her in ages. And we all sat there for an hour and just shared stories and talked. And that was the last time our kids saw her. And that
next day she went to the hospital.
She went to the hospital, yeah. And then she was basically in hospice, and it all happened really fast. So if you're on the verge of like, should we go see? Yes, you should. Yeah. You should. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so, so glad we did.
Yeah. So yeah, just treasuring those around us that are hard, and also there's complicated relationships, and trying to navigate those is real. But that's beautiful. She was great to me. And my sister and brother.
Well, and it's a good way. It's a good reminder, even the last episode, of believing two things at once. You know, that was a really complex, terrible relationship in a lot of ways, and also beautiful in a lot of ways. And that's most of life.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go either or. We can just acknowledge them both. Okay, so this one's been a little hard to put into just a really concise format, but I think it's important. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about something that we talk about a lot as a family. And I feel like as humans, it's just in our culture. And it's this whole idea of saying no or saying yes. And it recently came up in a conversation with one of our family members. And it's just this thing that always seems to come up of how to say no, when to say no, when to say yes. There's been books written on it. It's a common phrase of people say, like, I'm just not good at saying no, or I'm not, you know, it's this whole idea of like, I'm good or bad at it, or I'm really like, I just say no, you know, and then we get kind of a little irritated at it sometimes. So it's this whole concept of no and yes, which I think is, it's complicated and frustrating, and also like worth thinking about, because I want, you know me, I want to at least have some kind of, I hate formulas, but a slight formula of like, how do we deal with this, and how do we even like go through life with it? So there were a few things that we thought about. One is, there is, every time you say no, you're saying yes to something else. Every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else. There is no just no or yes. It's always associated with another yes or no. So saying, when people say they're not good at saying no, it just means that they're not good at saying yes to something else, you could say. So a lot of people, what they mean by that is, I think what I mean by it when I say it is, I'm not good at saying no, it means I'm not good at saying yes to myself oftentimes. It's just, you know, I don't want to tell them no to say yes to myself, so I say no to myself. So in a way, you could say you're really great at saying no, it's just to yourself all the time. And so this is a really common misconception, but it's to me, it's like, I got to remember it. If I'm saying no, I'm saying yes. If I'm saying yes, I'm saying no. So what, it's more, what do I want to say yes to, and what do I want to say no to in life? Not just, I always want to say no or yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's similar to life is problems.
Yes.
It's just, which problems exactly do you want? So what are you saying yes to when you say no to something? You're saying yes to something.
Yes.
And deciding which one of those problems you want.
Yes, kind of. And that slight perspective shift is really helpful, because it's not just, I need to say no to them. It's, well, what do I want to say yes to in my life? Like, or I don't want to go out to dinner. Why? You know, it's, you know, I mean, it's just, words matter. They seem so dumb at sometimes, but man, they're huge implications. So the story that kind of got us going on this was, we just, our daughter had a friend, and she told her friend she was going to go see a movie, and then she didn't want to see the movie, and then she was so scared to tell the friend that she wasn't going to see the movie, because she knew that the friend would be really angry about her not seeing the movie. And it's, again, this is nothing even like, you're like, okay, cool story. I mean, it happens all the time. And it's funny where we have all these lines of, you know, you just stretch the line a little bit, and if our daughter was like, oh, well, my boyfriend wanted me to do this, and then I changed my mind, it's very, well, of course, my gosh, of course you say no. It's so obvious. But in this situation, it's not that obvious. And we had this whole family discussion of like, oh, I don't, well, you know, and we're just going back and forth on this. Do you say no? When do you say no? Because our other daughter has had people cancel her for dinner reservations, and then she's really hurt, but then we should be so proud of them. You know, we've seen both sides of it. So it just gets so complicated. Then I came across this. Research says that 63% of self-identified people pleasers cite fear of rejection as their primary motivator for compliant behavior. And when you say it like that, I get like everything in me resists it. Compliant behavior and fear is so the opposite of how we want to go through life. And it's interesting, if you word it that way, suddenly it's ick factor, as the kids say. You know, a major like, I don't want compliant behavior based out of fear, which then got us thinking of, there is only fear and love, right? At the end of the day, and this favorite thing, I think we've had podcasts on it, Anthony DeMello, there is only fear and love. One of my favorite little Anthony DeMello stories is, the student says, what is love? And the master says, love is the absence of fear. And then the disciple says, well, what is it we fear? And the master says, love. And I love these Eastern little stories, because they're so paradoxical, which is life. And that's why they always hit us so good. It's like, the thing that we fear the most is not being afraid, which is so weird to think about, because we are in a culture saturated with fear. We're just used to it. We're used to making decisions based out of fear, which is why we come back to this, our daughter, are you making a decision based out of fear or love? Are you saying yes to fear and no to love, or are you saying yes to love and no to fear, which is the way that we should reframe all of these yes and no's. Say yes to love, no to fear every time. So it's just this really interesting thing. Fear-based compliance, it's, and for many of us who grew up in any kind of religious culture, we had these virtues like, you know, we're being selfless, we're putting them first, we're being considerate, we're keeping the peace, we're just loving them well. And a lot of the times what we meant is we're making decisions based out of fear. We're making a decision that we don't want to, we're afraid of upsetting someone instead of a decision based out of love for either ourselves or them. So is this love or is this fear? And what's really crazy, if you extend it a little bit further for those of us who grew up in kind of a spiritual, religious, not spiritual, upbringing, is that we expanded this to God. So the most powerful force in the universe, we were constantly making decisions out of fear instead of love. So it was a fear of not pissing off this God versus a love of doing what we wanted to do for this God, for others, for ourselves, whatever it is. And it's kind of crazy that when we really started thinking about it, you and I were talking about this at coffee, of just, wow, we grew up in such a culture and training of always making decisions based out of fear. And it's no wonder that it's so hard for us to make a decision based out of love.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts of my own life I'm thinking as you're talking.
Well, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm just, for some reason, and we've talked about this together a lot, so this is a new lens of it, but it's not a lens, just an example that business and networking.
Yeah.
And how often I think I should do certain things to out of fear, not because it's an oozing love of, and I know the difference when I'm going to go support and cheer this person that put this event on. And there's just this, but then there's the kind of like, I don't really connect with them. But I'm afraid if I don't go that something's going to happen to me or something. So there is like, it's just it's really tricky in business and networking, I think, because there's a lot of fear if we don't show up. But that's a silly example. No, but it just made me think of it.
But I think that's the beauty of it. It extends to everything. And these decisions we're constantly making. And again, fear is a good emotion sometimes. There is a tiger by the water, and you don't want to go to the water because you're afraid you'll get eaten by the tiger. But it's been said so many times, we're saturated with fear now. We're just, everything we're constantly being told to be afraid of. And I think we're even... many of us raised in a religion with a God who is quote unquote love, which is the opposite of fear. You know, love is the absence of fear, Anthony DeMello. We were also raised in fear. Everything was fear motivated. And so we grow up and we become parents, and our kids say, should I tell my friend no? And we are instantly back to, oh, but we don't want to make them upset. And it's a really interesting, well, what is it you love? Which there's a Rumi quote, and it kind of sums it up beautifully. Let the beauty of what you love be what you do. And it applies to work. It applies to relationships. It applies to spirituality. It applies to if there is any kind of higher being or universal power or thing that connects us all or whatever it is, the beauty of what you love be what you do, not working out of fear. So anyway, I think this conversation with our daughter started it, and these whole yes and no and us struggling. And it just reminded me again, it's very simple. It's so simple. And sometimes the simplest are the hardest and the best to be reminded of. Just, am I making decisions out of love or fear? And I really want to live a life where I'm motivated by the beauty of what I love instead of motivated by the fear of making someone else mad or even avoiding a...
And that's really good for a people pleaser like myself. It gets tricky, which is all that you're saying. And we raised some people pleasers.
We did.
And it is really challenging to navigate when you're being selfish or when you need to rest.
Yeah.
It's really hard to navigate when you are going out of pure exhaustion because you said you would and you're keeping your word. versus, I don't even know. It just, fear and love is really helpful.
It is.
And it isn't obvious. And then there's also essentialism, which is that book, Essentialism, which is a must for people pleasers.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a different topic.
Kind of. I mean, it's slightly, but also not. I mean, it's just, I guess it's just a good question to have in my head every day. Fear or love, fear or love, fear or love. And it does come back to, we were also talking about this, who do we think we are and who we believe we are? And even not just what we are, but what we're capable of. And I think that's why it's so important. We were talking about our kids, and we always tell our kids, you are so great. You are this, you are this, you are this. But it's also, we can't forget, and you are capable of so much more, which is kind of the thing that spurs us on. And I think that's why I love Infinite Brilliance. It's why I kind of love that that's what Lights Like Us is about. It's about you being infinite brilliance and believing that you're capable of that, and believing that you're capable of being this love that permeates and spreads. And I think the fears we have, again, because we were saturated in it, is, oh, we're going to be selfish and we're going to be these narcissists who never do anything for anyone. But that's not what love is. And we all know that. And when you're living in love, you're going to do the things that love does, which is see others and see them in the right way and see the things that you can do in a way that's beautiful and inspiring and passionate, instead of motivated out of a fear of making someone upset. And that is all we have to say on that. And I think at the end of the day, it's kind of what we hopefully communicated to our daughter, probably not as concise, but man, having kids is so great because you just continue to evaluate your own life and decisions and how we go through it. And
well, and she was really cool how she processed it. She was worried. She's like, okay, if I am doing something because I'm afraid she's going to be mad at me, then that's a problem. But if I'm doing it out of, because I want to support and show up, that's different. There's two different tracks, and I feel like I'm just repeating things I already said, but
it's good. Every different angle of language. I'm like, am I choosing this or am I avoiding something?
Yeah. And you know? Also to ask yourself, are you surrounded by people that control you with their emotions? This is another part of it. You analyzing fear and love, and is this a connection or a relationship that's actually safe, mm-hmm. where that person's healthy? Because then there's toxic, hard things. Mm-hmm. Another tangent.
But again, fear and love. It's very complicated, and it's nuanced, and it's gray, and it's all the things. But at the end of the day, is fear motivating me or love? And so, here's to a week where love is motivating to us, and man, that would feel really good.
It'd feel light and good.
Yes, it would. Okay, that's it. Have an amazing week full of love and less fear.
Cheers.
Until next time. Lights like us together. If you do sometimes feel a little lonely, or maybe a little crazy, or just that you're not getting the most out of life, I am a certified coach, and I love helping people find their way to better. If you'd like to know more or book a discovery call, check out rsjmiller.com. And if you'd like to know more about the podcast, lightslikeus.com. Until next time, keep shining.